A dreaded buffering. It's that thing in life that we have all grown used to, but none of us like. You're trying to download something, you're looking at something, and all of a sudden you hit that spot and it's not moving, it's not coming. And so as we begin to look at this series, we begin to think, you know what, that's really what life is like. In fact, that's what life is about, is that buffering moment. So we've been talking over the past few weeks on this subject of buffering, a work in progress. And so I want you to take your Bibles today and go to the book of Philippians, the second chapter. In just a moment, we're going to read that. And as you're going there, let me greet our campuses that are joining with us today. My name is Eddie Couples, and I am the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And we're thankful today to be able to join with different campuses and different locations on this last Sunday of the month to just hear what God's going to say to all of us corporately. I'm thankful for every campus pastor and what they're doing in their location, and I'm glad you're there with them today. Now let's get ready to receive what the Word of God's going to speak to each and every one of us. The book of Philippians today, the second chapter, here's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about changing our focus. We're going to be looking at how we go about changing our focus. The book of Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bible or you have an iPad or the Word of God downloaded on something, if not, just look at the screens. Here's what it says, beginning in verse number 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's where we've been talking about this work in progress. Continue, he said, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then he goes on to say, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, here's what I know is that God has a purpose in all of our lives and that he is wanting to fulfill that. But just because we got saved, how many of you know that there's still some stuff going on, right? In fact, here's what I want to liken it to. How many of you know that we do most things on autopilot? You understand what I mean by that? You know, we kind of get up in the morning, we have a routine. We don't think about, I'm going to do this first, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that and that. I'm going to put on this shoe first, I'm going to put on that shoe next. No, we just kind of do it. How many of you have ever driven to work and not even realized that, you know, the whole drive there, right? You guys make me nervous. Well, we do it. You know, it's kind of like you get in the car, you put it in gear, and you go, and you're miles, a million miles away, and you just kind of, you get there. And what we find is that sometimes this autopilot is kind of leading us the wrong way. They tell us that when a plane takes off pretty quickly, a commercial airline, they put it on autopilot, and pretty much the entire flight, it's there. But every once in a while, you'll hit turbulence, and you'll hear the captain come on, and he'll tell you, hey, we're at 32,000 feet, and we're going to go to 28,000 feet because of turbulence. And he has to recalibrate that auto. He has to make some changes in that moment. Now, in a lot of our lives, we need to make some changes. But the only way that we're ever going to really change is when we kind of reprogram our autopilot. And that's what I want to talk about today, is how that we go about changing our focuses. Now, let me ask you this question. In fact, I'm just going to look right in the camera at the campuses. I'm not even going to look at you guys, but would you be honest? How many of you have some character defects? Okay, I'm going to peek. All right. If somebody was sitting either to your right or to your left and didn't raise their hand, you know what theirs is. Right? So I won't tell you what it is, but don't trust them, okay? But all of us have those, and a lot of times we go, where did those character defects, why do I act that way, why do I do that, why is it all this? Well, I'll give you three reasons. The first reason is our chromosomes, okay? Did you know that your mother and your father each contributed 23,000 chromosomes to your development? So your DNA it kind of made you what you are. In fact, your height, you know, the way you walk, the way you talk, a lot of that is kind of there. You know, from your parents, you inherited some great strengths, right? But you also got some weaknesses, and that's just inborn. That comes along, and we just showed up, and here it is, and we can't change that. We can't make that any difference, just who we are. The second thing that creates these character defects, or the Word of God, let me just break it down, the Word of God calls sin, is that our circumstances, where we grew up, the school we went to, the neighborhood we lived in, or even maybe the home life that we were surrounded by. See, much of how we behave believe has been learned from watching other people. And so there are some things that have happened in our lives, and if we really thought back about it, it really is because we've experienced that from other people, and we grew up with that, and it kind of just became part of who we are. Now, let me say this to you. Those two, you can't really do anything about. You can't change who your mom and daddy were. Right? I remember when our daughter was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, and she's one of those kids that started talking, you know, the day she was born, I think. And Sherry was with her somewhere, and she was in the shopping cart, she's 2 or 3 years old, and she's wanting something, and Sherry tells her she doesn't, you can't have. And finally, Ashley just stands up in the middle of the cart, raises her hands, and goes, "I want a new mommy." We've all probably had that moment. Etc. But you can't change those, all right? But the third thing, and really is the one that causes the most of our issues in life, we can change, and that is our choices. You've heard me say for years that you are where you are in life because of the choices you have made. The choices we make are the most significant thing that shapes our character defects or our flaws or our sins, because it's the one thing that I can really do something about. I can't change my parents. I can't change my DNA. But I can change my choices. Now, how many of you remember you got saved, you committed your life to Christ, and for, I don't know, there's a season there after you commit your life to Christ that you kind of just float. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all, has it been that long for you? I mean, it's kind of like things are working. It's good. It's a, ooh, hallelujah. But you know, a few days, a few weeks. I don't have the time for it. But all of a sudden, life starts happening again, and you find out all of a sudden that you still got to deal with your temper, or you still got to deal with your lust, or you still got to deal with your addiction, and it's all of a sudden like, wow, I got saved. I thought all that was gone. You know, the Bible says, he makes us new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become what? New, right? But how many of you know there's some old stuff still hanging, right? And a lot of times it's kind of like, well, Pastor, I got saved. I committed my life to Christ. Why is it taking so long for me to get rid of some of this stuff? Ever thought about that? Can I give you some reasons? I'm going to, but if you nod, it make me feel better. All right? Well, one reason is because we've had them for so long. Right? I mean, you've been reacting this way. You've been doing this. You've been having this. Some of us since childhood, we've been doing the same thing the same way over and over and over. And then we come to Jesus Christ. We get our lives right. We want to live right. And all of a sudden, we still are reacting the same way. Or we're still finding ourselves coping with things by doing things we shouldn't be doing or whatever it is. We find ourselves living in that same pattern. We find ourselves still going through that whole issue because, well, this is just what we have done for all these years. The second reason is because we confuse our defects with our identity. All right, if you're taking notes, just write that down. We confuse our defects with our identity. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. Have you ever heard somebody who maybe they stumbled or they dropped something or they fell down and they made this statement, "I'm just such a klutz"? Ever heard that? Right? Now, watch what happened. They have now determined that their defect is their identity. Right? Now, they didn't, the first time they fell down, they didn't say, "I'm such a klutz." I promise you they didn't. Because the first time they fell down, they couldn't even talk. Come on, go with me. It's deep theology. Just hang in here. All right? But let's say, you know, they start walking or whatever, and they fall down, and grandma's there and says, "Hey, that kid's kind of accident prone." And falls down again. That kid's a klutz. And throughout the next few years, every time something would happen, and that kid's probably not falling down any more than any other child anymore. But we start reinforcing that. We start saying that to that child. "Well, you're just a klutz." And all of a sudden, instead of that person understanding that they're falling or they're breaking or whatever, they now have come to that point that they say, "I am just a klutz." And guess what happens when you start saying, "I'm a klutz"? You start doing klutzy things, right? Now, I could have used other things there, but I tried to keep it good for you, all right? Because there's a lot of things in our life that we start saying about ourselves because we have now identified our defect as our identity. I'm such a loser. I can't ever hold on to a man. I can't ever hold on to a job. I can't. And all of a sudden, we are identifying our defect as our identity. And let me say this to you. And please, if you don't get anything else, get this today. Failure is an event, not a person. I'm going to say that again. Failure is an event, not a person. You are not a failure. You have had failures. You have gone through failures. You will go through failures, but you are not a failure. Don't let the moment define who you are. See, we've all heard it. Don't put a period where God puts a comma. You've got to come to that place where you learn to live through whatever it is you're going through. The next thing there is because every defect, every sin, every addiction has a payoff. Boy, it just got quiet. You were laughing just a minute ago. Why do I do this? Why do I react this way? I don't want to get too deep in your business. Well, actually, I really do. But it's because there's a payoff. I just don't know why I just react in anger. I do. There's a payoff. Part of the payoff is people do what you want them to. Right? I mean, you just blow up and all the employees run for cover. Now, they're cussing you under their breath. But they run for cover. And they're going to do exactly what you said because you said do it. And you had that moment. And so there's a payoff to it. There's a payoff. You go home in the evening and you pick up that thing you shouldn't pick up and you know it's going to be one and it becomes two and it becomes five and it becomes ten before the night's over and you go to bed and the next morning you wake up hungover and yet you say, I'm not going to do that anymore, but tomorrow night you're going to do it again. Because there's a payoff. You escape from it, whatever it is. There's a payoff that happens, and that's why we continue to make the wrong choices, doing the wrong things, doing what the Word of God calls sin. The last thing is this, because Satan discourages our efforts to change. Now listen to me. There is a real devil, and he is alive and well. And he is doing his dead level best to keep us from living the life that Jesus Christ wants us to have. The Word of God says, Jesus said, I came that you would have life and it more abundantly. But the first part of that verse says, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life more abundantly. So Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you call him, he's got a network of angels that are under his control, that are doing everything they can to keep you from fulfilling what God wants you to do and to discourage you every time you start, you get up, and you get to going, and all of a sudden, wham, there it is again, and you find yourself in that process of continuing to live the same way. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, those things that I would not do, those are the things I find myself doing. He said, when I want to do right, evil is present. Amen. Ever been there? Right? We've all experienced that. So how do, if we're going to change, how do you and I cooperate with God's change process? See, I believe when you become a Christian, when you move into the realm of being a believer in Jesus Christ, I think in that moment, he starts working with us and working through us. Remember what the scripture says there. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had somebody walk by you and go, hey, let's go work out? Ever had that happen? You're not sure? Let me tell you what happens when somebody says that to me. When somebody walks by me and says, hey, Pastor, let's go work out. Let's go to the gym. Let's go work out. I go, no. That is my gut reaction. Now, sometimes I go, but my gut reaction, no, I don't want to work out. Why? Because workout's hard, and it's not, you know, you go to the gym, and you're lifting 20 pounds, and there's always this 700-pound muscle-bound creature next to you lifting, you know, deadlifting 1,028 pounds over their head, and you over here barely going. Come on, right? And it's just that you get sweaty, and then you go home, and guess what? The next day you feel like you've been run over by a Mack truck. And who wants to do that? Who wants to experience that? But here's what we know. If we want to get stronger, if we want to be healthy, if we want to live as long as we can, we got to learn to work out. Well, guess what? In the Scripture, the Word of God lets us know we've got to do some things to come in alignment with what God has. Now, here's, remember I told you this morning, today, that we're going to be talking about changing our focus, all right? Here's what they tell us about race car drivers. Anybody like race cars and all that stuff? A few of you? Okay. You don't have to be ashamed of it. Go ahead. If you really like it, raise your hand. Come on, stand proud. Now, I don't like race car driving. The reason is they just make left-hand turns. The only time I like it is when that somebody makes a right-hand turn. You can explain that. Anyway, here's what they tell race car drivers. Don't focus on the wall. Why? Because if you focus on the wall, guess what you're going to do? You're going to hit the wall. Now, there's a lot of Christians who have been focused on the wall. I mean, it's like we can't get a lap down until, bam, we've hit it again. So what we've got to do is we've got to come to that place of understanding, how do we go about changing with the Lord's help? Now, first of all, is this. Focus on changing one defect at a time. One thing, one sin problem, one addiction, one whatever it is. Now, remember, in the first part of this sermon, I had you raise your hand and say if you had a character defect, right? And everybody did, even the ones who didn't raise their hand do, and we know theirs, okay? Can I be bold enough? How many of you have more than one? Yeah, I thought so. Now, here's what I know. A lot of us have a tendency to try to work on everything. Usually there's a great big one. I'm not going to try to name it, but there's a great big one up here. And then there's, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or hopefully not over 100. Kind of under here, right? And our deal is that we work on this one a while, work on that one a while, work on that one, work on that one. And by the time we run over here and fix this, kind of like ever been in a circus where the guy gets the plates going on stage? Ever seen that? He'll start with one, he'll start with two, and all of a sudden he's got about 6 or 8, and all he's doing is running from pole to pole to shake it to keep the plates up. Well, that's what we do, and all of a sudden they start falling off, right? Because we're working on too much. Proverbs 17:24 says this, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eye wanders to the ends of the earth. It's just like this and that. We're going all kind of places. It's kind of like, let me do this real quickly. It's if you ever watch Dave or listen to Dave Ramsey, and if you don't, you should. Dave Ramsey talks about the debt snowball. And here's what he says. He says, when you start getting ready to get out of debt, list your debts in their order of how much you owe. And he said, don't start with the largest one. Most of us won't start with the biggest one. He said, don't start with the largest one. Start with the smallest one. Why? Well, because you're going to pay it off faster. And when you get it paid off, you're going to feel. Here's what you did. If you started off up here, it's like going to the gym and picking up that 500 pounds of weight. But if you start on the small one, it's like going to the gym and picking up the 10 pounds. And once you handle the 10, then you move to maybe the 30 or the 40. And then, and so you're handling it in an order in your life. And so in our lives, we need to, whatever they are, don't see, I can help. Some of us got these great big things, but really what we need to focus on, you ready? Can I give you a few things we need to focus on? Ready? Some of us just need to focus on showing up to work on time. Well, you like that so well. Some of us just need to clean our cars out. Some of us just need to learn basic hygiene or whatever. You know, it's... You say, oh, Pastor, that stuff doesn't matter. Whoa, wait a minute. You know what the Bible says? Here's what the Scripture says. If you're faithful in the little things... Watch what the Scripture says. We have not understood this. God says, I will make you ruler over much. Now listen to me, and I'm going to hurry because I want you to get this. Watch what's happening. This big thing in your life is ruling over you. It's controlling you. It is ruling you. The Lord said, work on the little things, be faithful in the little things, and I will make you ruler over much. If I will handle the little things, God will come along and enable me to dominate that big thing in my life that is trying to destroy everything that God wants me to do. Amen? Come on, we need to get that. Man, I got to hurry. Let me give them to you. Next is focus on victory one day at a time. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread, right? One day at a time. I mean, why is it that in 12-step programs, they celebrate 30 days, they celebrate 60 days, they'll celebrate a year? Why? Because they know if you can live for a moment, they don't say, okay, now you need to focus on being sober for a whole 10 years. No. They tell you, be sober today, right? Come on, handle your problem today. A lot of us say, oh, you know, I want to be this, I want to be that, and I'm looking. No. Just get it together today. Focus on today. Next is focus on God's power, not your willpower. Come on, you need to put that down. Let me read you a scripture that's an interesting scripture. Jeremiah, the 13th chapter and the 23rd verse says this. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? You don't have to pray about that one. The answer is no. Right? The answer is no. All right, but keep reading. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You've lived your life for yourself, and the devil has had control of your life for years. You come to Jesus Christ. Guess what the scripture just said? Just as you can't change it, your willpower, you've got to come to that place where you say, Lord, I've got to have your power, I've got to have your grace, and I've got to have your anointing in my life to break through whatever this is that's holding me in captivity. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. When I come to that point, some of us need to make that a memorization scripture and begin to say that every moment of your life, that you can do it through Jesus Christ. You got to learn to focus on the good things, not the bad. That's the next one. Focus on good things, not bad. The Bible says it this way. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, let me make that practical for some of you. Some of you are going to have to quit listening to some of the radio and some of the music you've been listening to. Well, hallelujah. Right? I mean, you and I can't even quote her. My brain went somewhere, and I won't say it because I want to be good. But you can't be listening to music that denigrates women and calls them everything under the sun and on and on and on. And then hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. Really? I mean, every foul word that can be thrown into a song, it's out there. It's pounding in your brain for, 5 and 6 hours a day, and then you come into church and lift holy hands without wrath and without. I mean, back, can I even go a step further? Back just a few months ago now, there was a movie came out, and I was astounded to hear Christians went to this movie. It was called 50 Shades of Something. You're kidding me. First of all, don't act holy, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Secondly, how can believers think, well, Pastor, it's just a movie. Are you kidding me? The Word of God is clear that you can't pollute where the Holy Spirit lives. The Bible says, don't you know that you are the dwelling place, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? I mean, if certain songs remind you of when you used to get high or hang out in the clubs, don't listen to those songs. Well, you're just being too rigid. No, I'm trying to help you. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't make some transitions and some changes in your life and begin to think about the right things, here's what I'll promise you. You're going to be back in the same place all over again, doing the same things again. So we've got to make some decisions. Next is I got to focus on doing good, not feeling good. Focus on doing good, not feeling good. I mean, how many people are waiting until they feel like changing to change? How many of you know if you wait? You ready for marriage counseling? Here's marriage counseling, pastor's way. You ready?
That pastor, I just want to tell you, it's just not working for us anymore.
Well, do you love him?
Well, pastor, I love him, but I'm not in love.
Here it comes. You ready? What you're saying is, the hormones aren't rushing. I was read all my life, and they lived happily ever after, and it's not too happy right now, so I'm going to give up. I mean, how many times has the groom picked up the bride and walked them across the threshold into the new whatever? But I'm going to promise you they put them down. First of all, it gets heavy. I'm not saying nothing. Can you imagine going to work? You're a week back from your honeymoon and you walk in. They're going to go, are you crazy? Put that woman down. Right? And why? It's because sometimes marriage is hard work. See, here's what the Bible, I'll give you scripture for it because you're loving it so much. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You've got to come to that place that you're not waiting until you feel good to do good. Can I give you some more? Or focus on people who help, not hinder you. Some of you need new friends. Some of you sing country western songs about all your friends in low places. And they really are. Some of you need to get some friends in high places. That's why church is important. That's why getting involved in Growth Track and in a connection group. And why? Because we're trying to get some new friends. We're trying to get some people who will encourage us. We're trying to get some people who will help us. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15 says this, do not be misled. Bad company. And I'm not talking about the 70s rock and roll group. But this probably pertains to them as well. Bad company corrupts good character. You got to change the people you hang out with. If you hang out with buzzards, guess what you're going to feed on? I don't. You ready? Can I do this? I'm going to. Thank you. I don't know why everybody just tells me all that bad stuff about everybody. I don't know why I always get all the bad news. I do. You're a buzzard. I got some looks. Why? Because if you're flying with eagles,
Eagle's not going to be feeding on that dead stuff, on that junk, on that mess. It's important that we find some people who are encouraging, who uplift us, who speak the words of life into, get those people into our lives. Listen, it doesn't matter what church you're at, what campus you're at, doesn't matter what church you go to, I promise you, there are going to be some people in that church that are negative. And they're going to be against everything. Yeah, I can't believe that preacher. I can't believe that musician. I can't believe that teacher. I can't believe the temperature. Doesn't matter. There's always going to be something. And I promise you, if you want to, you'll find some others just like that. Or you can say, wait a minute. I want to find somebody who's praying. I want to find somebody who's living an overcoming life. I want to find somebody who is walking in obedience to the things of God and haven't sold out to living this low life. That's what I'm looking for. Let me give you this. Focus on progress, not perfection. Progress, not perfection. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, until the end of life. You and I have got to come to that place where, listen, I may not be where I should be, but I'm not where I used to be. People see me and say, Pastor, I can't believe this about you or that. Me either. I'm with you. I can't believe it either. But if you think it's bad now, you should have seen me 10 years ago. At least I'm better. I don't have it together, but I'm doing better than I. And that's all the Lord asked me to do is to progress, to continue. He didn't tell me to be perfect. You say, well, the Bible says be perfect. Well, go read that. That word's talking about complete. And he didn't tell me that I had to have it all. No. I've just got to be working on the issues of life. Let me say this as I close. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that God will only love you once you get to a certain place. See, here's what I know about Christians, is that all of us are struggling with something. Well, I'm not. Ooh, we read that scripture last week. Let's go back to it. 1 John says, if we say we were without sin, we're liars, and our pants are on fire. Okay, he didn't say it that way. He did say there's no truth in us. So all of us are struggling with, all of us are dealing with some issue, some of them seemingly greater than others, but all of us are dealing with something. And here's what I want to tell you. When God called you, when God chose you, he knew what your stuff was. And he still said, that's the one I want. I want you. I want you to be in my kingdom. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean I can just live the way I was? No. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin continue no longer therein? We've got to be working. We've got to be progressing. We've got to be moving. But don't miss out. Listen, there are thousands of miracles that you're going to miss out on in your life. God's going to give you an opportunity to impact somebody at work, a neighbor, to pray for somebody. And if you are constantly focusing on the negative, you're never, ever going to see the benefit of the blessings. And so what we've got to do is come to that place of saying, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm moving up. Amen. I'm moving into what God has. See, here's what I know. God loves me at every stage of growth, recovery, overcoming, whatever the term is we want to use. God loves me at every stage of my journey. And that is the important part. I'm moving forward into everything that God wants. Amen.